so late to the party, but do you know that Tom Cruise does all of his own stunts?
Yeah.
I know you know that, but I don't think the average person knows that. And I was watching the latest Mission Impossible, the one where he broke his ankle.
Uh-huh.
And it's cool to know he's actually doing that, even though it's hard to wrap your mind around it. But I'm like, I don't know. I don't watch other action movies and think like, no, not cool, because I know it's fake. Like, it's a movie. I don't think it's cool, but I don't know that it really, other than making him feel super cool. I don't know. I don't know if it adds anything, because we've had fake action for so long.
Right. And it's number one, it's like taking away a job from a stunt person. I mean, I'm sure, look, here's the deal. God, there's a stunt person on set to step in at any point.
The job was never there. The job was never there.
I don't know. It just, I'm sure it's like a lot to insure him, but since he produces his own stuff, it's like, maybe it's not a big deal.
You're such a Labor Party advocate.
Well, because also it's like, if he gets hurt, that shuts down production for everyone. Exactly. And then everyone has to like stop. But he's also, as far as I hear, like a very generous guy who like is making sure that that's not affecting anyone. But I don't know. It just seems like it's wasting everyone's time for him to kind of like play a game.
Except for like when it did for 6 months and people, unless you're like paying people. The taking a job away, I mean, I could say that by doing this, I'm taking the job away from a real podcast producer by having you do it. And by having my coffee this morning, I took a job away from a barista. Give me a fucking break.
He's never going to be Jackie Chan. I think there's something so different.
You think he goes to bed at night?
There's something so different in Jackie Chan, who started from the ground up, like doing his own stunts. Like there were always bloopers in his movie. He just is such a, I don't know, there's just something different in that skill to me than just like this guy that's like, I'm also going to do my own stunts.
They're pretty remarkable. And Jackie Chan doesn't just do karate. He does like high karate.
He does. I mean, he's incredible.
There's different levels of karate, and he does high karate.
High karate?
It's a cologne. It's a cologne from the 80s, I think.
I mean, look, Tom Cruise is a polarizing figure. Where's Shelley? Miscavige.
Okay, let's not make this about that. But I was just watching it. I was like, this is a super cool movie. It's also impressive because he's like 60, and he's doing all that work. But I don't know. It's kind of like when I watch on Instagram, like people are like, how'd this go from this to this? I'm like, I don't know. It's a clay earring that's really ugly that like nobody wanted. Like, I guess of course you're an artist, but like, meh, I'm okay if that's made by a machine.
Right. You don't need it. Although I prefer that to like everything being CGI, practical effects, like the real people doing it. It makes such a difference.
Sure. If you know it, I just assumed it was fake. And then Noah was like, no, he's really doing it. Also, you know what trend on TikTok really bothers me? Well, the ones where they're like, the client's like, can you do it for cheaper? Like a cake maker. So they just show them like taking a box, throwing an egg in it and throwing flour in it. I'm like, you're wasting an egg. Like you're wasting paint to like make this video. I hope it was worth it.
Do you remember what did you think about when that Mummy trailer came out for Tom Cruise's Mummy? Do you remember this?
No, I definitely, I don't mark my life.
No, but the trailer came out by mistake. It had none of the music. It just had the SFX. And so it was just like him falling out of a plane, nothing, nothing, nothing. Ah, no. Like just those sounds. And people, and it went viral because it was so insane. It was just people like, whoa, and no music, no nothing.
A whole trailer
went out. An entire trailer. So then there was the second wave of people that are like, this was a publicity stunt. They purposefully
released
the wrong trailer because otherwise no one would have talked about this movie.
Right, right. Which is some intern hit send and they're like, ah, fuck.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of fuck. We got some, I'm sure, bridesmaids questions to answer. We got to come up with some new segments.
Hey, Eliza, Emily, Teeny, Snow Peach, and gang. Wonder if I can get your input on something that has been bothering me particularly as of late.
Wait, I have a question.
Yeah.
Because you can hear in the back this like crunch noise. She's gnawing on like a piece of horn that I think I bought for her the day I got her. And she slowly whittled it down. And she carries it around with her. At what point do you take the horn away?
When she could choke on it.
It looks like a wad of toilet paper.
You get that marrow out?
A little smaller and you're going to have to take it away. Because we don't want her to swallow it.
It was a full elk horn. It was a 6-foot long elk horn when we got it. And now it looks like a rabbit foot. A wet rabbit foot. All right.
I work for a rural home health agency doing occupational therapy in the home.
In the home.
I used to have to stand outside. I often have to go into the homes of smokers, which I find disgusting, and oftentimes have to wear their toxic fumes to other clients' homes as the day goes on, making me self-conscious, thinking that they think I'm the one electively huffing on the nastiness. Mm. Anyway, I recently found out I'm pregnant and would like your advice on a good go-to line to politely ask my clients to not smoke in their home, at least while I'm on caseload, and especially not when I am physically right there in their home. Part of me feels like it's wrong to ask people how to live in their own home, but it's not safe for them or myself for a multitude of reasons, and I'm sick of it. I also don't feel like it's any of their business to share with them that I'm pregnant. I feel like it's a violation of common courtesy. Any suggestions?
You're being an unreasonable Karen and a bitch. People love cigarettes and you're standing in the way of their pleasure. I think this just comes down to you might have to just not go to their homes.
But it sounds like that's her job.
I know, but your job is not to put yourself and your baby at risk. And any other job, by the way, if there was asbestos in the walls, but they don't care. If there was something hazardous going on, they would have to curtail that.
Can you switch some of these cases, or is it like, I think that you might have to reveal that you're pregnant to be like, look, because maybe that legally triggers something for your bosses where it's like, we can't send a pregnant woman into the homes of smokers.
There you go. Also, they're going to know you're pregnant eventually. I grappled with this as well. I was like, how should I put off? But it's not like if I didn't tell anyone and then I booked a movie in December, I could do it because I'd be like fully pregnant. So I think there are things in protecting you from revealing that. I don't know the state. I think in Texas, if you reveal you're pregnant, they shoot you. Is that right?
That's what I hear.
And then make that fetus, someone has to keep it forever. Uh-huh. You should just reveal it.
Another bigger fetus has to keep that smaller one.
But I don't think it's going to, you know, unless you're friends with these people, it's tough to be like, because it's not just the cigarette they had before. It's all the carcinogens in the air. So you might have to figure out a way to not go in those homes.
Talk to your bosses before you talk to your clients, unless you do think that it will get you fired, in which case, before you talk to your bosses, look into the laws in your state for at-will employment.
Emily loves this stuff.
I love reading
It is
legal
bullshit,
advice.
Though, as a woman, though, how much we think about, like, should I tell people? Are they going to treat me differently?
Are they going to blow cancer into my mouth hole? Like, if I don't tell them that there is another smaller life they'd be affected? Because who cares about my lungs? Right.
Oh, but every baby's precious, but you are fired. Good luck feeding that baby. You have to keep it. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Hey, Liz, Emily, Tianfu, and Gracie, who may not exist. I'm a 38-year-old female. I'm a senior leader for a large grocery chain in the Eastern Midwest.
Whoa, which one?
Think Ohio, not Iowa.
Shh. Okay, I'll think real hard on that. On that huge difference.
I have worked with this company for 16 years, 3 years.
Is it a Meijer?
I don't know.
Meijer?
3 years in the store I'm currently at.
Meijer?
I'm always the first person to admit my mistakes and the last person to let another person fail. I'm a cheerleader for our brand, and I try to go to work with a can-do attitude to provide
every day
a positive role model. Lately, though, it seems like my exuberance fades as soon as I walk into the building.
Yeah, you work in a grocery store.
I'm finding it more and more difficult to change the negatives and positives because of the dynamic between my boss and me. My confidants often describe her as a Jekyll and Hyde, which really does explain a lot. During minor issues, she always goes to the most extreme outcome or reaction and replies as though we're in a life or death situation. Over bananas? Really? With the number of customers and staff that pass through our door each day, this insanity can happen well over a dozen times in a shift. Anytime that new information has to be passed between us, she makes me feel like I'm wrong, stupid, or talks over me when I'm trying to ask questions that she is answer questions that she's asking, then tells me how great I'm doing in the same breath. Literally, great job, but that can't be right. Happens on the sales floor when customers and staff members are around because she cannot wait the 40 steps till we get to our office. She'll say things like, I wasn't going to bring this up, but I think I will. And I'm not mad, but when she clearly is mad. I pass it off as her having poor tact, ride it out till she's gone or I'm moved to another posting. But it happens to other department managers and even our brand new staff as well. It's exhausting. She does do nice things for people sometimes, whether it be buying gifts for people who are having babies, checking up on people who are sick. I believe that she cares at some level about the staff and wants to succeed, but she has no real concept of how insensitive and rude she comes off.
Oh, sounds like me.
What can I do to keep my smile and go-getter attitude in the world that she creates? And do you have any ideas on how to bring it up to her without the outcome being that I quit or get fired?
I don't know. She sounds kind of like the way I operate sometimes, and I wonder if Emily should answer this question.
I think it's... Here's the thing. If it's like Eliza, this person is saying these things to you and then has moved on from it while you're still agonizing over what it could have meant, or did I do a bad job? Or like, it sounds like
you always do a bad job.
Sounds like this person like says these things. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, you screwed up. Oh, you're the best. Oh, you, and then just moves on. And I don't know. It sounds like because you're having all of these little tiffs 18 times a day,
yeah,
that you are close enough that you yeah. should bring it up to her again.
It doesn't sound like a tiff. It sounds like an explosion that she withstands. Also, when I call you the worst person I know,
that's not
it's
the,
from love.
No. Top 10. The boss currently doesn't understand being diplomatic.
Yeah.
And it's not a tenable, like, you can't do that 12 times a day. You can't feel like you're screwing up your job if you're not.
I think it's worth just sitting down and being like, look, I've worked here a while. Like, you're my boss. I respect you. Yeah. I need to find another way for us to communicate.
Yeah.
You and just be like, or I might have to like go. I think also like you're a valuable employee, and just be like, you in the same breath will tell me I'm the worst and then like scold me in front of people. Like, all I ever want to do is a good job. And so I'd love to find a way to communicate this so that we can, you know.
Yeah. Can we have like 15 minutes at the end of the day where we talk about things
where you just
that you,
scream at me? There you go.
Yeah. It's tough because I think she's not thinking about it. It's not affecting her. She's not like, oh, what a bad employee. She just moves on.
You know
what
you should do?
Mad once again. Like, she has the memory of a goldfish.
Just get a little emotional and she'll be like, oh my God. And you'll be like, I'm fine. And then just get really cold. And she will be like, oh my God, what can I do? And you can be like, you stop being a giant bee. Mm. It's hard because we don't work there and we don't really know if you are doing a good job or if she, like, I don't know the people, but it's always worth standing up for yourself if you're a consistent employee.
Yeah.
You can be like, look, I show up on time. I always do this. I always do this. I love working here and I want to continue to love working here. And I feel like you don't, like, it's showing a disrespect, or if there's something I'm doing wrong, I want to hear that. But if I'm always being told I'm doing something wrong and it's minor, it starts to make me feel like maybe I shouldn't be at this job.
Yeah.
Just say that. Let her know that you might quit because she might need you more than you realize. Someone's got to stock the Lunchables for when Emily visits.
When I come
Iowa?
Into the Miser.
Michelle.
Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe even like the third time she does it in a day, she's like, you'd be like, hey, you've already gotten mad at me 3 times a day. What's the problem?
What's going on here? What's this really about? You put your hand on her neck directly under the jawbones and you push her against the Pillsbury toaster strudels and you go, hey, cool it. You've got to cool it. And you like do it right in the cold section.
It's not like, where the cool. toaster strudels
yeah,
are,
they're frozen.
Is it?
What do you think? They're just rotting on the shelves?
Yeah.
Fresh.
All right. That's why they're better than Pop-Tarts.
Didn't I try doing that to you at some point?
Maybe
making that sound
a long time ago.
You remember? You probably wrote it down. You're gonna sue me.
Put that in my suing journal.
You love suing people.
I've never sued a one.
Yeah, you're building it up.
Building up a case. Hi, Emily and Eliza. About 3 years ago, I started going to a hairdresser and have been very happy with her work.
What? Oh, your hair?
Yeah.
What did she say?
She's consistently done a great job and is generally very pleasant to spend time with. We've become friends on Facebook, and the more I've gotten her, the more I've learned about her.
Less hair I have.
Most notably, she is a MAGA pro-Trump QAnon member. Then the pandemic came, and she was allowed anti-masker. The vaccines came, and surprise, surprise, she's allowed anti-vaxxer.
She doing your hair without a mask on?
As for myself, I've been a nurse for 18 years, and when the vaccines rolled out, I was a little skeptical. I did a ton of research on how they work, how they were developed so quickly, how well they were tested, even finding and reading the report Pfizer submitted to the FDA for emergency use authorization.
Fun. Real bad.
All before
read.
Deciding to get it. Her Facebook page has become very irritating, as you can imagine. I've had to unfollow her to keep from biting my tongue at every quack theory she posts about. But the most hurtful—
No, you don't keep from biting your tongue. You are biting your tongue. You keep from releasing your tongue.
But the most hurtful are the ones that I perceive as victim-shaming people that have died following vaccination and or have had breakthrough COVID cases.
Oh, my God. Get your hair cut somewhere else.
I want to believe I can have people in my life that believe different things. I'd hate to limit the people that surround me to only pro-mask, pro-vax, white, Christian. You
smart,
get the picture.
Science-believing people.
I feel like because the quality of her work is superb, to stop going to her would be akin to discriminating her for her beliefs. However, I dread the idea of returning to her and giving her my business as she's so vocally against the science and evidence my profession is built on.
What about
I can't
your rights?
Decide
oh my
if
God.
I'm being oversensitive and discriminatory or if I should take my business to someone who isn't a public health menace. What's your take on this? P.S. Hurry, my roots look horrible.
Okay, dude, first of all,
you
can't go back. Look, discriminating, people are too sensitive. Like, discriminating, I got strawberry ice cream, you discriminated. Your beliefs end as well as your rights end at your neighbor's nose. Your belief in Jesus, someone else's belief in Allah, and I think they also believe in Jesus, someone else's belief in Buddha should only be in within their own control, and it shouldn't extend into putting a fatwa out on someone or killing in the name of Christ or setting someone on fire or whatever, okay? My belief in anything should be a doctrine that I follow, and I don't put that on anyone else. I believe in being pro-choice, and I want you to be pro-choice. If you want the abortion, I want you to be able to get it, and if you want to keep the kid, I want you to be able to have that option as well. And she's taking away that, her belief is taking away choices from others by willfully spreading a disease. She's getting other, she's advocating for other people getting sick and being mean about it, okay? This isn't about different opinions on taxes or religion or civil rights. This, she is fundamentally wrong because this is science. It's math. It's very black and white, okay? You vote with your dollar. So she's, what is happening over there? I'm in the middle of an impassioned speech. You're trying to figure out how a water bottle works. What are you doing?
It's making a sound. You use it every day. Out of it if it's serving a sound.
You vote with your dollar, and she's making money off you. You can get your roots done somewhere else. I promise you. Just do a little bit of research. Find somebody else. There's no way she's this magical. I have a relative who stopped seeing a brilliant, it's actually funny that you're saying this, a brilliant colorist in her town because he was anti-mask. We have to show people, hey, you're being an idiot. We have to show people like science matters to us. So you're contributing to her being able to make a living. You wouldn't, some people don't eat at Chick-fil-A because they are like, they support anti-gay causes. Like, you vote with your dollar. It's her right to exercise her opinion, and it's your right, which you should, you know, fully get into, to not patronize this person.
The problem is, don't go to her because you're going to get, you could get sick. You could also get COVID. Safe. Don't go to someone where you're not going to be safe.
You know, it's one thing if your hairdresser's like, I just love Jesus. I love telling people about Jesus. Like, I guess it's not hurting anyone if that's all you're doing. She's advocating for the spreading of an illness. And she's making, I mean, making fun of people who got it. I mean, that's just a shitty person. But you're this, it's a kind of a female thing. Like, I want to make sure I've got cool people in my life that are diverse. You can. And they can also be smart enough to understand science. Mm. The result, the votes are in. Vaccines win. This is no, this is like a flat earther. Like, this is somebody who has a fundamental flaw in their thinking, who hasn't been touched by this, deliberately ignoring it.
By the way, if you comment on this podcast saying you don't agree with the politics, you're sick of the politics, we know that you are just,
we know you're anti-science. A piece of shit. It's scary how many people are like weirdly anti-mask because of some like weird way they equate it with their rights, but they don't care about other people's rights.
Right, that it's become a political thing. I mean, it's insane that people are like, you can't make me wear a mask, but I can't tell you what to do with your baby.
Exactly.
It's or so insane.
Or your body. It's like how environmentalism became political. I'm like, do you not want to be on this planet?
Yeah. Elon Musk is not taking you with him to Mars.
No, you're not.
And somebody that makes $150,000 is not the enemy. Like, that person is closer to you than the person who makes $10 billion that you don't want to be taxed.
Yeah, this is all fully insane. Anyways, stop seeing her. I'm usually not the person to say that, but we've just reached a boiling point here where, like, our lives are forever going to be changed and miserable. Like, our way of life that anyone knew, you know how I can tell that everything's over and changed forever? The amount of nostalgia accounts on Instagram. Millennials, elder millennials, were all just like posting like, remember malls? Remember KB Toys? Like, we all just want a hug from our moms and like the warm glow of TGIF, because the only warm glow right now is all the forests on fire.
And don't spend time with someone's face next to your face who doesn't believe in science.
She's going to get you sick, and then she's going to laugh at you when you die. But it's a good thing you got your roots colored.
Well, she maybe hasn't.
Maybe she hasn't.
Find someone new. Hi, Eliza, Emily, Hot Toddy, and the Little Snow Peach. Love your podcast, and I saw you're taping in Nashville. I have a question, update, and idea for a podcast segment. My question is about a friend who seems judgmental about my current relationship.
Is it with a hairdresser?
No.
I got things to say.
I'm female, 32, dating a male, 34, and we moved in together 2 months ago. Everything is going great and our friends and family are happy and supportive, but I have one friend who is giving me a hard time.
Rock hard.
She lives in another state, so we don't have to be around each other too much if we don't agree. We've been friends since college, about 13 years. The other day, she was asking if he's popped the question yet. And I told her we're thinking about getting engaged early 2022 since we got together March 2021. She said that means we would have a short engagement since we're waiting so long.
I can't do that math.
A whole year, heaven forbid. Get engaged. I was really taken aback by this comment. We both want to get married within a year of getting engaged. My friend, boyfriend, and I all grew up in the South with conservative Christian families, so her comment probably was a result of that. But she's lived with a boyfriend out of wedlock long before getting married.
Well, that's what it is. That's what she's projecting on you.
And we have other friends who have done so without her saying anything like that. Mm. I'm trying to figure out what to say to her. It's been a few weeks and we've barely talked because it made me so mad. She's also a very controlling person in general. How do I handle this without losing my friend?
Here's if you lose your friend. She sounds awful. I don't get it.
I mean, it's, yeah.
Here's what it is. This is the honest truth. She's really not happy with the way her life has gone. She wishes this guy had asked her to marry him. So she's projecting on you what she wants for herself. Oh, and from the highest light, maybe she's like, hey, don't make the mistake I made where like I just stuck around. But I think those are the feelings. I think it's less about like being mad at you or whatever. I think you also don't need to be defensive about it. Be like, this is what works for us. And if she pushes you on it, you can always say like, what's this really about? You know? And there, I wonder if there's a tactful way to be like, did you say to her like you've lived with Travis for several years? You know, you're not getting to the root of what this is.
Yeah, and if she's just generally controlling, she's just talking. It probably doesn't mean anything. I doubt she's judging you. She's just saying things so that she feels like she's right.
Exactly. So there's something else going on there. So either have a real come to Jesus, or perhaps you've outgrown this friendship.
Yeah.
We get a sound effect for like, dump her.
Like that would just be the whole podcast.
The Mortal Kombat, finish him. Dump her.
Just the whole time.
It's a video game.
Update. I wrote in about a haunted mirror a while back.
Haunted
mirror? This must have been ages ago. We didn't burn it, but it is wrapped up and stored in the garage with a mirror side facing the wall. We haven't had any issues with it since moving it there. I hope that helps if anyone else has experienced something similar.
I don't remember this one, but that's so funny.
Vaguely familiar from like years ago.
I can't believe they didn't recap the story. You say update as if we've been like—
I love haunted mirror.
For years, like what's going on with that mirror?
If you have a haunted mirror, put it in the garage.
Smash it!
No, that's bad.
What?
Definitely don't smash it.
What are you talking about?
That could release something bad.
What?
If you think your mirror's haunted, don't smash it.
It's hot sand. There's no like gateway to another dimension.
Well, then you don't think it's haunted and it's not a problem.
Well, there you go. Because you know the only people that get possessed? Catholics. So don't be Catholic and you won't get possessed. You ever think about that? Nobody thinks about that. You don't see a lot of Jews and Buddhists getting possessed. No, it's only Catholics.
Isn't it crazy that there are certain diseases that are like only in Japan where people think like a fan, like fan death, and they don't leave their fans on at night because it could kill you. Just like these certain things that are
what do you mean kill you?
Like people have died and they think it's because of their fan.
What do you mean? Like they choked on the fresh.
No, like maybe, yeah. Like there's just these like specific things where only certain cultures actually quote unquote die of something.
I think it's psychosomatic, but I also believe that the Japanese believe it. It's probably going to become a reality very soon. Like they just see things differently. I'm sure a lot of people here have died from fan death and we just don't know it because we eat a bunch of garbage and all have cancer. So it's probably that.
Yeah.
But it was actually the fan. Mr. Fan in the study with the fan blade.
Podcast idea. I would love it.
Good for you for keeping that haunted mirror.
You got to do what you got to do. Love it if you had a culture corner segment where you talk about books, artists, fancy food, maybe self-care tips. As an example, Shallon Lester had a video a while back where she talked about Anna Karenina and also had caviar and discussed different ways to serve it.
Yes.
Since travel is difficult and expensive, it was fun to have a little taste of Russian culture. Thank you so much for brightening my week with your podcast and comedy.
That's very cute. Okay.
That is really cute.
Here's culture corner. I'm currently holding a Baccarat weighted crystal glass. We could do a culture corner. I'll get called out for being elitist.
Yeah, I think people are going to be like, I mean, look, you report back when you go places.
Okay. Here's
you can do a culture corner right now. This is not going to be a regular segment.
Here's my culture corner because I'm looking at it right now. Mm-hmm. On my desk, because I was using it in a Zoom pitch, mm-hmm. I have a glass and it is, when you get married or when you want to buy something nice for yourself, the key is weighted crystal. Okay. That's the difference between like a nice glass for liquor versus just like a glass from the kitchen. Baccarat makes them. There's also like Waterford, which is like a little bit older, sort of older rank and file. A weighted crystal glass, when you hold it, you feel the weight of it in your hand and it feels like you're sitting in a study and it kind of honors the alcohol. Weighted cut crystal, that's what you want to register for when you get married. And that's what you want to buy yourself if you're going to drink any liquor with ice in it, because it just makes it all that more sophisticated. Don't dump it into a mini barrel and go chugging out of a 7-Eleven cup. Weighted crystal Baccarat.
Cut crystal glass. Culture corner. Dot, dot, dot.
Okay. No mixers.
No mixers in your
weighted
glass.
We'll do vodka soda out of them sometimes. And use them often. Don't just save them. That's my big culture tip. Use your nice things often. I can't have it right now, but it's taste of time.
Do you see that article about how people are mad that caviar is becoming more...
accessible?
Yeah.
You know, we did this event and the guy sponsoring it had like a truffle company. And it was like, we want to make truffles accessible to everyone. And they're probably like, it's less truffle in like salt. So the truth is you only need a little bit of truffle to flavor something. And actually a lot of, Noah told me this, a lot of oils that you buy at a grocery store are like truffle oil, but they're made with like synthetic truffle or truffle essence. It's not actual truffle. I believe that people should have access to things, but I also believe that like things that are expensive that are made well should cost more.
Yes.
And that's what you aspire to. That's why you want to make money versus just staying at a lower price point, because things can be nicer. And like people get mad at like Gwyneth Paltrow. And it's like, yeah, well, some people want those things. It's no, your dollar isn't any less valuable because you have more of them. You know, if you're deliberately hunting a rhinoceros, you're a piece of shit. But if you want to buy like a more expensive face cream and have a better experience and you're willing to pay for it, that's okay. Not everybody who wants something nice is a dick. It gets really exhausting because if we all could afford group products, we would.
Yeah. Yeah. And people should be paid fairly for their labor and work, et cetera, that goes into creating these, you know, like a lot of the time you see people that, like if somebody makes blankets, and you'll see, because I follow like the Choosing Beggars subreddit, somebody will make a blanket. It takes you 40 hours to make a blanket.
Right.
You want to be paid not only for that time, but the experience that you have, the tools that you have, the yarn, and be able to be like,
sure,
I'll pay you $10 because I could get a blanket at Walmart. And it's like, well, that's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing. It's kind of, it's, but that's also, you know, the person who wants to buy that at Walmart, that's what they,
right,
like, that's
and you
what
can have
can
a blanket
afford.
And you can
totally
be warm.
It's
and
all
it's
about
a different thing.
Expecting more. Like if I buy a first class ticket, I'm not an asshole because I'm mad if the seats don't recline. Like you paid for an experience. If you paid for your family to go to Disneyland and like Goofy wasn't wearing pants that day, you'd be like, I paid for this experience.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with that. Of course, you don't have to be a dick, but you're allowed to be upset when you don't get what you paid for. Does it make you a Karen? Or Kevin.
Right. I like things being more accessible, but that doesn't mean that top tier options have to be done away with.
Correct.
But why can't there be more tiers to things?
There
That's
could be
great.
More. Yeah. And by the way, it there can be anything as long as somebody's willing to pay for it. The market dictates.
Yeah.
I always say that with like comedy. It's like, you can go do comedy. You can be terrible, but if people are willing to buy it,
yeah,
then you have, I can't begrudge you that.
Yeah.
So it's all about what are people willing to pay for? People are willing to shell out thousands of dollars for a Louis Vuitton duffel bag that's going to last you and probably outlive your children.
Mm-hmm.
And you're willing to pay for that quality and the name. But that doesn't mean that you should be able to afford like a Costco brand duffel bag if you needed it.
Yeah.
So I guess people are afraid like it takes the sheen off of something that's nice. But like things that are nice will always be nice. They're not like letting anyone into the Four Seasons to like take a dump in the lobby.
Would love to.
You probably could. There's no law.
What's somebody really going to do to me?
If you took a dump in the lobby of the Four Seasons?
You see those videos of like there was that guy who was yelled at for being at like a Dairy Queen and not wearing a mask. So he started peeing all over the counter. Like what's someone going to
do? That's your hairdresser.
What do you do?
You call the cops.
I mean, yeah, you call the cops and the cops come and the cops are like, ugh.
It's actually assault.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And you could be charged with sex crimes.
There you go. So welcome
know.
To Culture Corner.
I'm sorry I took Culture Corner in this direction.
You know, it's a tangential show.
It is. Hello, lovelies of Ask Eliza Anything.
Whoa.
I have a toxic father-in-law issue I need help with. My father-in-law, Bill, and his wife moved in with us at the beginning of the year. My biggest issue is his treatment of my son. Bill doesn't like when my three-year-old is loud or runs around. He's said in the past what a bad kid my son is because he doesn't listen or talks back. He's three and still learning.
No, you're pretty much done at three. That's it.
How much does a three-year-old can't say sentences, right?
I have no idea.
I feel like I don't know. Things came to a head a week or so ago when he told me he was going to pop my son in the mouth if he talks back again. When I told him no and dismissed him when he said that's how he grew up, he got pissy and has given me the silent treatment all week. He ignores my son, who doesn't understand why Grandpa's ignoring him.
Then he went to drink at his white's only water fountain.
Yeah. Since then, my husband and him have gotten into it over his treatment of us and general attitude. My husband has told him to leave, but they're still trying to find a place. How do I deal with them in the interim?
Oof, that's rough because he's like unleashed the mama beast in you. Like, you know, like if I hit my kid, it's okay, but you can't do it. First of all, he's not going to hit your kid. He's not going to do it. He threatened it. He's not going to do it. Second of all, it's your home and that's your child. And what's important is that your child feels safe.
Yeah.
Your kids just remember like Grandpa was mean.
Yeah.
And it is tough to be around a child. I doubt he was like father of the year. And also it was a different time. It was a different time. And the way you see parenting is forever etched in your mind is like the way to do it. It was a different time. You need to make sure that your kid feels comfortable.
Yes.
And safe. And that's really all that matters. And I'm sure you feel that way already. So it's tough because you can't kick him out. But also your husband needs to be interjecting more.
And it sounds
male energy versus male energy.
Is. But yeah, I mean, you just like he doesn't get to have any right in how you treat your children. He is a guest in your home.
It is not never fun to deal with someone else's kid, especially a screaming kid or a loud kid, especially when you're older. But he is a guest in your home. The other side is maybe your kid, look, I don't know. Maybe your kid is out of control. Like maybe your kid is disrespectful. I think sometimes too, like parents, kind of go like ear blind to it because you hear it all the time.
But the big thing for that for me is that she's not bringing her kid to his house.
Right.
He is staying in her house because he needs to find a new place.
Like you might just
have to. The kid can do whatever he wants in his house to it. You know what I mean?
Like, sure. I mean, I don't know, but let's say your kid is a monster.
Yeah.
I guess at the end of the day, what matters, like I'm sure the grandpa has some decent lessons and you could even say to him, like, we'd love for you guys to have a relationship and to convey those lessons to our child. But right now he's afraid of you and this is negative. So in order to get to a place where we're all getting along, I'm going to have to draw a strict boundary. Like I will, like you will not speak to him that way or you can get the fuck out.
And again, he's three. And so it's like at three, what do you don't know. Like somebody tells you not to do something, you're like, okay. Like, what do you?
That's a huge disconnect. Yeah, that's a huge divide. So, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with looking him right in the eye and being like, you can find somewhere else to live. You will not speak to my son that way. Like, just put the fear of God in him. Bop him right on the nose.
Yeah, you pop him in his mouth.
Yeah, see how he likes it. That's rough. Yeah. It's rough for everyone.
Yeah. That poor kid is just like, Grandpa. Grandpa's like, I'm going to hit you.
He's not going to do it.
Hopefully.
That's rough.
Anonymous.
Although I'm going to save that one for threatening you later.
To pop me?
Pop you. Right in the tush.
You would never.
I would never.
You would never.
I think I touched you, even in an affectionate way, like twice.
I mean, you touch me.
I touched your arm.
Yeah.
You
said
I could.
You wouldn't touch my face is what I'm
saying. No! I wouldn't touch anyone. I wouldn't touch my own face. I wash it with sticks in a haunted mirror. I know where the things are.
That's how you get haunted. Anonymous. I am a 30-year-old female. One of my oldest friends is getting married in October.
She's like 90.
I already have mixed feelings about the marriage because it's rushed, but that's besides the point.
Oh, is that the... Okay.
I am vaccinated and found out about a month ago that virtually all of the people attending, including both brides, are unvaccinated. This particular group of people have been the worst throughout the pandemic, going to bars and clubs.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can we recap? Your old friend is getting married.
One of my oldest friends is getting married.
And you are vaccinated and she is unvaccinated.
Her, the other bride, and all the guests are unvaccinated.
What do you mean the other bride? Are they lesbians?
I assume it's lesbian.
What do you mean two women? Sorry.
And this group of people have been going to bars and clubs, so et cetera, throughout the pandemic.
Unvaxxed lesbian wedding.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not just a guest invited to the wedding. I'm supposed to be in it. I don't know how to tell my friend that I'm not comfortable going to her wedding. It's on the smaller side, 40 to 50 people, but recently changed from outdoors, which I was okay with, to an indoor ceremony.
Oh,
I don't want to feel anxious the entire time at this wedding. Any advice on what I could say to her? I thought about wearing a mask, but I'm sure she doesn't want me masked in wedding photos. Thank you. Also, here's the thing, guys. Your mask more so protects other people from you.
Yeah.
So if everyone else isn't wearing masks, those particles are coming at you.
We as science-believing people have to get just as comfortable with imparting our truth on the unwashed, unvaxxed masses as they are with imparting their truth. They're very comfortable getting in my comment section, in your face, telling you you're a piece of shit, don't wear a mask. We should be just as comfortable saying, oh my God, there's something wrong with you. Do you need medical assistance? Do we need to commit you? We should be just as comfortable, not necessarily shaming them, but asserting how you feel.
Yes.
Those are their rights so far, and they are very proud of that. And you need to be just as strongly imbued with your sense of self and rights. So you say to your friend, and you don't question, and you don't feel bad. She should be embarrassed. Let me just make this clear. She should feel very bad. I get that not everybody lives in like a deep blue bleeding place like Los Angeles, where the vaccinated are the majority, or at least those of us that are pro-science are, for the most part. I don't know. Pandemic still hit us pretty hard. So you just simply say, I am vaccinated. I believe in this. And since the majority of your guests are not, and it will be indoors, I am uncomfortable attending.
Yeah.
And that's all you have to say.
It doesn't have to do...
You don't have to explain yourself.
Yeah, it doesn't have anything... doesn't have to have anything to do with your quote-unquote judgment of them. It comes down to your safety. This is a super spreader event waiting to happen of people drunk, dancing, inside, unvaccinated, with Delta. It is unsafe. You would not get in a car with someone who is driving drunk.
That's it.
You will not go to this wedding.
Unacceptable. And you know what? I was in Las Vegas and a bunch of my parents came and a bunch of their friends came, and one of the people's friends came. We were outside and she came up and she was drunk and she was just talking and talking, and she's so close to me. And I just grabbed my mask and I just put it on, and she actually like looked at me weird. And I said, it's not you, it's me. That's all I said.
Yeah.
I didn't have to explain myself or say, I didn't even say sorry.
No.
And she was like, I'm vaccinated and I'm tested. I was like, don't care.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. And it was uncomfortable to do it, but I was like, what do I care about more? This person feeling comfortable in the moment or me getting sick?
Yeah.
You have to put your personal safety over others' comfort. End of story.
I had relatively mild COVID. My favorite foods taste and smell like garbage because it's months and months later. It will probably continue for months and months.
We have to, like I said, be just as comfortable asserting our safety values as they are in asserting their bullshit point of view. So you don't apologize. You can say like, hey, I'm sorry, but you don't equivocate. You just say exactly what I told you. I'm trying not to repeat stuff on the podcast because when I listen back, I'm like, wow, I said the same thing six times.
Well, and hopefully your friend, you guys are really close, and you can say how much you love her, but you can't put your safety
at
risk.
Absolutely.
And she will understand that if she is a good friend.
I have to do my part. Be like, we have gotten past the threshold. This is a full-on pandemic and I need to be on the right side of history.
Yeah.
I will see you at your funeral. Kick it.
Hello, Eliza, Emily, and the tiny snow peach. This question is
simple.
This is from Yazzie29. I feel like everywhere I go, I've been bombarded with pumpkin spice everything and Halloween this and that. And I
already
feel like we do this every year. Well, hold on. We'll talk about
September
it. Because
1st.
And I'm sitting here like, it's only August 1st. Let me enjoy the rest of my summer in peace before I have to go into the throes of a deep, dark Minnesotan winter. No, I'm not a nurse. When do you think is an appropriate amount of time to start hearing about pumpkin spice, pumpkins, and all things Halloween? Now, real quick, because what you said about the nostalgia, I think is so interesting because I've been seeing so many tweets and posts excited for Halloween. People are so excited for Halloween, like in August, excited for Halloween. And I think it comes down to this, like, we've all been locked inside.
We want
something
comforting.
It's like exciting. It's fun. It involves masks. Like,
we're only doing it because we can't get excited for Christmas yet.
Yeah.
Also, hey, Minnesota, enjoy the feeling of winter. Because what Mother Nature has in store for us and the rest of humanity is a fiery hell of an existence for the rest of eternity. I'm not talking about you did something wrong. I'm talking about global warming, baby. So, you know, oh my God, it's so cold. Well, you don't have to worry about that in about 5 years.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's the way I feel. I don't know. Didn't you get enough of some? You're coming from a different point of view because it's not perennially hot there.
Yeah.
I'm pumped. It's like, if it's 70 here, I'm like, oh, break out your booties. Get into it. Look, the pumpkin spice stuff is hacky. And I like to think that I really led that charge in my special freezing hot when I was, I think, the first one to really joke about it. And then all of a sudden the internet got a hold of it. I really don't even enjoy pumpkin spice. I just like the mood of fall, not so much Halloween. I think it's kind of a gross holiday. So you're still allowed to enjoy summer. I don't think you're really that bombarded with it, especially if you wrote this in August, or by the time you're reading this, you're just covered in caramel, like laying on a floor, like you've been attacked. You've already been murdered by fall. Get into it. It's your right. It's your God-given right as a white woman to just love.
We don't know that they're white.
But as a woman in Minnesota, come on.
We take these small comforts. Like at this point, yeah, all rules are off in terms of like the timing of things. I feel like our clocks are so screwed up because just nothing has any meaning anymore.
Yeah, it's not like you went on Etsy 3 weeks ago and ordered 3 velvet pumpkins ahead of time and have them prominently displayed on your mantle here.
Did they arrive?
Yeah, they're on my mantle.
Them?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'll have to go look.
I'm going
to
get some more.
Okay, good for
I'm
you.
I'm just getting into full mom mode. Can I tell you something? Speaking of mom mode, I was on stage last night at the Improv. And I brought my own like Clorox wipe on stage to wipe down the mic.
Yeah.
And there's a piano on stage always at the Improv.
Yeah.
And as I was talking, I noticed that there were smudges on the piano. And so as I'm telling my jokes, I started wiping them. And I caught myself. I was like, what am I doing? And I was like, I'm becoming a mother because I saw like in the middle of my set, I'm like, ooh, a smudge.
Yeah.
It's happening.
It's happening.
Oh, fall's here. Motherhood is here.
Tiny baby. Hello, Ask Eliza Anything fam. This week is very difficult on military families. My husband was active duty and served in Iraq and Afghanistan. Oof. He got home from Afghanistan 2 days before our second daughter's birth because his unit's deployment was cut short and is still a National Guard service member in Kentucky. We're living in Pittsburgh and not super close to a post, and having few people nearby who understand the emotional toll of this week for military families. Mm. How do you suggest we handle the negative commentary about service members and their previous quote-unquote pointless deployments?
Oof, God.
Hearing about the 12 Marine who died in Kabul really brought up a lot of previous worries about future deployments, and thinking about comm blackout for these bases and families just rips me apart. Having
thinking
known
about what?
Communications blackout.
Oh.
Just rips me apart having known what those feel like. It's hard not to get emotional and angry when people all of a sudden are military specialists and are completely tone deaf to the pain this causes military families past and present.
Yeah.
For background, we're mid-30s. My husband is a CPA in his civilian life, and I work in mortgage banking.
We have two daughters who
we try to completely shield from this, but it's hard given everyone has an opinion to share. On top of being upset about current events and feeling sincere pain for all the families of the Marines and those who sat and waited for comm blackouts to end, I'm afraid that the girls will start to hear this negative commentary and worry when their dad leaves to go to training exercises.
Well, the good news is he's not going to be sent back to Afghanistan.
I, too, am starting to become concerned about our future. I know this is a risk military families take, but the anxiety is starting to grip. No one around me really gets all of this, and it's hard to cope right now. Thank you in advance. Love your podcast. I listen to it while I'm working from home.
Wait, I don't understand. Being deployed was always a part of the gig. National Guard, I guess I wonder if that gets more deployed for like domestic things, being that it's the National Guard. I'm unclear what you're worried about.
I think right now, especially, she has a lot of random people in her life telling her about being like a military family, a military member, saying things to her young daughters about their dad.
I have a very strong point of view on this because I'm a logical person.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this stuff, like, we did it, Joe, as if Joe Biden made the decision in a vacuum to evacuate, you know, and people being like, oh, we left equipment. We always leave equipment behind. Leave a fucking helicopter, okay? ISIS isn't going to figure out, they're not helicopter pilots. These are not specialists. These are like rural guys, like picking up whatever guns are left over. It's like, oh, maybe the Soviets will come show them how to do it. Well, look at that. Look at how that turned out last time. So I actually talked to a friend of mine who was in the military for many, many years and works in like national security. And I was asking him how he felt because he said the same thing. He was like, it's amazing how people are experts at Afghanistan all of a sudden. People are just living in an echo chamber of what they hear on the news. And it's not that I'm not, but I'm just looking at this rationally. To say something disparaging to a service member who was just doing what they were told and who lost friends there or lost parts of their body or, you know, on a mission, which is we were trying to secure an area. This is never about implementing democracy. This is about maintaining stability in a region to a quote unquote army that really isn't set up patriotically, tactically, skillfully, anything like that. And enough was enough. So we pulled out. But, you know, you wouldn't spit on a veteran. You wouldn't, if somebody boarded a plane that was in the military, you wouldn't say like, fuck you, nice try. You need to sit down with your daughters, and I'm sure you've done this, and I can't believe, you know, and say, here's what mommy and, were you in the military or just the husband?
No, just that.
Well, you still sacrifice stuff, but like, here's what we did. We were following orders and we were there, and your daddy's a hero and he served his country. And that's all you need to know. It's not in people's purview to dissect a mission or anything like that. Because nobody's really mad at soldiers. They're mad at the way things are done or the way they think it could be done better. But it's all just Monday quarterback. And this will fade away, by the way. In the couple weeks, we won't be talking about this. I think what's important is that you make sure your kids know how you feel. I don't think they're saying that much to your kids. I have to be honest.
I'm wondering if it's being said just like in front of the family.
But that's part of life too. What your religion, your color, your beliefs. Like there's always someone saying something and you just make sure you know, hey, in this house, here's what we believe. And and this is how we think.
Yeah. And if you're getting like one comment a lot from people that's offending you, you can tell your kids like, look, here's what we think about that. And we don't
by the way, it's all a lot of online chatter and people rarely will say it to a service member. They're rarely going up to someone and saying, hey, your life is bullshit. So people are real big in a comment. Tianfu! Real big in a comment section. Oh my God. I hope you edit this out. Yeah, okay. Just going nuts. I can see your butthole. Not you, the dog.
Anonymous, how the hell do I stop getting so invested in passing flings? I'm 25. I don't necessarily want to date because I know that I just quickly spiral into, is this the dude I'm going to marry, which is gross. I'm aware it comes from a place of needing validation and wanting to be loved, so I've been trying to avoid dating until I can choose someone because they are the right person and not just because they're there. I don't do dating apps or actively go out looking, but I travel a lot and meet plenty of dudes my age where we end up spending time together and then moving on to whatever country we're each headed to, and eventually the talking dies down, which duh. But even though I know it's coming and I know these guys weren't going to be the one, somehow I'm always still heartbroken when it ends. How do I break this unhealthy cycle?
Maybe don't have sex with all of them.
Is that what you think is happening?
I think you have sex and then there's like the release of oxytocin and you're giving like a small piece of yourself away. I know it sounds old fashioned, but I don't know. I guess it's kind of like, think about what do you want to get out of this and maybe don't give so much of your time away to like random guys. Like you don't want to just keep getting your heart broken over and over. That being said, like this time in life is like perfect for that. And if you travel that much, it doesn't sound like you are comfortable with that life. So maybe like deep down, ask yourself like, what do you want? You want a boyfriend? Then maybe either travel less or don't make yourself so available.
I think it's going to be really tough for it to have when you're meeting very briefly and then you both part, like that's just, it's going to be really tough for someone to be like, actually, I'm going to change my life for this. Like you're going to have to meet someone at home.
Yeah. You're also keep in mind when you're spending time, like your heart's broken because you're like, this was so perfect. And it's like, yeah, everybody can be perfect for a weekend or a week. I don't have to watch you like with a flu, taking a dump, yelling at your parents. So maybe just like slow it down a little and think about what you want. And maybe, I'm not even saying you sleep with all these people, but I do think that that makes it a little harder. But maybe focus more on like long-term stuff. I feel like sometimes it's like whatever the guy wants, like let's hang out. I'm cool, girl, but you don't really want that. So do what you want.
Yeah.
But also have fun.
On the travel, I just think it's not going to happen on the traveling, during the travel.
It's tough. It's real tough. Welcome back to It's Real Tough.
Allie says, hi, Eliza. What are your thoughts on hanging on to old journals and diaries? I am a 37-year-old female and have journals in my garage from middle school and high school. Mm. I keep them, but I've never wanted to go back and read them. Totally. And I don't want other people reading them after I die. There's nothing.
Are you dying?
There's nothing too exciting in them, I think. Just normal kid/teen stuff. Should How I keep hanging on to the 37?
Okay.
Should I keep hanging on to the journals in case I want to read them someday or trash them? Love the pod.
I think you got to go through them and decide, because I What's have a lot there? Of that stuff. Yeah. And like, what if you have a kid one day and you want them to see them? I think sometimes we hold on to stuff because you're like, what if one day? But chances are by 37, if you kind of don't care, you might want to trash it.
Yeah.
I think you have to sit back and go through it, because I recently was going through a closet. There's like all these pictures that like I held on to forever, but I was like, I actually don't care about like me and this random guy in a picture in Israel.
Yeah.
Oh my God, she said Israel. How could she? Or in Spain with like three girls that I met. Like,
yeah.
It actually holds no meaning. So I think as an exercise of releasing yourself of the grip of nostalgia, just sit down for an hour, go through it. And you'll naturally find your hand just like flinging stuff into the garbage.
Yeah.
You can always rip out the stuff that matters, but like you'll never look back at the majority of the stuff that you keep.
Yeah.
So why are you really keeping it?
Yeah. Have a day where you like read them and you reflect on it. Maybe you scan in a couple pages that are funny.
Yeah, kind of get into it. But yeah, you definitely need to keep all of it.
Yeah. Hello, Eliza.
Memory hoarder.
I'm a digital hoarder. Ooh. I keep all files.
Oh, yeah, but that's different. You're like backing it up in case you want to sue someone.
No. Just like, I feel like I have the photos from my phone just copied 18 times. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that.
Hello, Eliza, Emily, and the Snow Peach. I have a problem that I'm hoping you guys can help with. I'm 24 and mixed, Jamaican and white, in case Eliza is curious.
I am curious.
And back in November, I joined a dating app. I wanted to take it slow, hence why I did it during one of the many lockdowns in my country. I'm Canadian. I matched with this guy, let's call him Josh, in mid-December. Mm. Josh and I talked for a total of 5 days. It started off okay, fun, flirty convos, but then he started to make me uncomfortable, asking me uncomfortable questions. And when I said I would not be answering those questions, he would keep going. I have anxiety. And after the 4 days, I would dread him messaging me, making me have stomach aches, etc.
What are you doing? Block this person. What are you doing?
I unmatched him on the app and blocked him on Instagram, where we had been chatting, and noped out of the situation. I'm still on the app. But since then, multiple times per month, he keeps trying to match with me. One day he tried to match with me 3 times. I've been just swiping no, but I don't like that this is happening. It's been 5 months and we talked for 4 days.
Yeah.
My friend says I should be flattered, but I'm creeped out.
Your friend's an idiot.
Should I match with him and tell him to leave me alone? Help me, Eliza and Emily. You're all my only hope. And then 3 months later, update. He just tried to match with me again. At this point, it has been 7 months. He even made an Insta for his cat and tried DMing me from that.
Listen to me.
Should I break my silence and tell him to fuck right off, or just keep sustaining and maintaining?
It's an awful part of being a girl, is I have to endure this with like random people who feel you owe them something or have something wrong with them. I have one guy, a professional contact, who cannot handle that I didn't give him a job on a show of mine once. That I didn't have the position to give out. And to this day, this is now, when was Truth and Eliza? 2017?
Yeah. I mean, what, 3-4 years ago?
Yeah. Literally last week sent me an angry message. Went as far as to DM, ask Eliza anything. Like, and this is an adult with like a full grown child who is a public figure. Like, and I think this person's like has like mental breaks or is an alcoholic. So my point is, and I just keep blocking, spamming, deleting. I never respond. You can't give it oxygen. And it's tough because you want to be like, hey, like you want to turn on your heels. They say if someone's following you, you're supposed to turn around and go, what? And scare them. But there's something wrong with that guy. I would reach out to the dating app. I would keep a record of all this if you can. But even if you can't, just be like, this man has been harassing me on your platform for months.
Yeah.
Is there something we can do? You know, they probably won't kick him off because, you know, his right to be a creep is more important than your safety.
Yeah.
Do not engage with him. And I would just be careful. You know, I feel like your account might be private if you noticed that like a random cat Instagram was trying to follow you. Unfortunately, it's not right. It's not cool. But like, this is just a part of being a girl, is like constantly having to look out for your own digital safety. And I'm so sorry. And your friend that told you should be flattered is dumb.
So offensive.
It's so offensive. Well, he whistled at you and then called you a bitch. At least he's paying attention. Reach out to that platform.
Yeah.
Stay vigilant.
Make sure you have screenshots of every time he has tried to interact with you. Because I think, I would guess he can't get in trouble for trying to match with you, But I think the constant DMing from different accounts indicates a pattern of behavior that hopefully the app will respect.
And make sure you have nothing online. I hate that I have to say this to you. When you go out, do not post where you are in real time.
Never. Never say, at brunch and tag
until
the brunch
you're gone.
Place. Post later when you get home.
Average person doesn't know this. I do have this because I deal with a stalker, you know? When you're out with friends, like, if they're going to post a picture of, you know, I'm not saying this guy has stalked you, but you don't know what he's looking at and you just don't know. And it's someone this crazy, like it could become an uncomfortable situation. Keep documentation just in case this escalates. I live my life doing this. I do this for several people. Like just, oh, there's that person again. Delete, block. It becomes part of your routine. And I'm so sorry you have to deal with that, but that's what you should do.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's so
it sucks. Talked for 4 days and he was like, I have to keep talking.
Well, it speaks to like some men that like feel entitled to like, we had something. And now, you know, in the future, if someone starts asking you questions that make you uncomfortable, peace out of there. You did the girl thing. We're like, well, I want to make sure he feels comfortable and I want to keep talking. We don't have to take every option and every opportunity. Your comfort is just as important as him getting off.
Yeah. Hello, all. Congratulations on your pregnancy, Eliza. So very exciting. My question is simple. What has been your favorite part of being pregnant so far? I know it's a bit early for you and the little, but I always love hearing what fellow moms enjoy about their pregnancies. Ooh. I loved when my little girl would kick and you could see her move. I would push back a little with my finger to say hello, and this would go on for a few minutes.
She would take it as a sign of aggression.
Sending all our love and best wishes for you and the growing family. And this is her and her little party goblin. Very cute.
Beautiful mom and beautiful baby, but beautiful baby.
Those are the eyes you want on your baby. Yeah. You want those husky eyes on your baby.
I want husky dog eyes on my baby. Yeah. That's a beautiful baby. I feel tiny little kicks and I think about like how soft and like unformed her little heel is that's making the kick. Cause it's like, it feels like a gas bubble, but it's not. I actually am really enjoying, and this as a woman, especially in Hollywood, but as a woman, feeling the freedom to be like, this is my pooch. Like I went on Jimmy Kimmel the other night and I normally would be like, oh my God, do I look thin? Like I have to make sure that my stomach is flat. There's a freedom in being like, this body is what it is right now. Like I still work out, but not having to worry about your stomach area looking perfect because it is expected to be round is incredibly freeing.
Yeah.
And I enjoy that. The rest of it could take it or leave it, but that's cool. I'm not getting extra hair, which is a bummer. I guess my nails are kind of hard. Those are from the vitamins, though.
Nails.
And just how I really enjoy the bonding with other women, as long as there's not too much advice flying around. It's a really cool thing. And it, you know, just one added part of being a woman. And it's just a cool journey. But letting your gut hang out and making fun of it on stage, having a little poochy belly.
Yeah.
It's fun because it gets huge if I eat a lot. Also, really enjoying the self-control of not eating at night. I started implementing last night because my doctor said your weight is fine, but you're teetering on the edge of what's okay.
Did you tell your doctor about that pancake situation where it was still in your throat the next day?
No. I'm okay.
You're fine.
And I also like that I do a workout and like I do like pregnancy workouts and I like kind of like giving myself a break. Like,
do you like that when people like when you went to lift something and someone was like, whoa, like, do you kind of like people are looking out for you more?
It's very sweet. It's sweet that other women are mindful like, and how kind men are. And so when we were in Las Vegas, before my show, we went to see Magic Mike, which I highly recommend.
You love Magic Mike.
Chelsea Phillips-Reed, who is the MC, is phenomenal. All the guys are great. And it actually is, you know, it's not just a bunch of dudes like grunting. It's actually a very like elegant, like female forward show. It's just really great. Mm-hmm. The guys are so cool. And so one of them who was like, he came and he picked, because they come up and they dance on you. And then he picked me up and I was like, oh my God, like I'm blushing. And he puts me down. He's like dancing on me. And I get nervous for a second because I'm like, oh no, like my belly, like what if he gets too close? And he leans in and he just patted my belly and he went, congratulations. And then he picked me up and he put, because he knew who I was.
Yeah. Because you've put me back seen down. Them before.
Seen them once before. And like, they just knew. And it's just nice.
Yeah.
So
people are being nice to you.
That's cool. Can't wait to really milk it. Really milk it.
How are you going to milk it? What's your plan?
Milk it. I don't know. Nothing. I don't need anything.
Yeah, but you're not.
I don't know. You go to restaurants. People like look at you. Your tits are out. They look great. Loving it.
All right. Top of the cob.
Okay.
This is the top of the cob.
We're doing it right every day. You just take a bite, top of the cob.
My top of the cob is that I was called for jury duty. And look, it sucks, but it is part of being in a democracy. Like as a citizen, like it sucks, but like if you lie to get out of it or anything, like you're a piece of shit. Like we all have to do our part.
We blocked off this entire week for you so that you wouldn't have anything going on when you were supposed to be doing jury duty.
Yeah, and it took a lot of engineering, but I, whatever. But they've done it now. The last time I got called in and I sat in that room all day and then they let me go. This time they're like, check in the night before. And every, for a full week, you have to check in every night to see if they need you the next day. And so far they haven't needed me. And that is bonus good feels because not only do I not have to go to jury duty, but I did the right thing. And also my day is free.
Yeah, because we were holding it for jury duty.
I love it. That's my top of the cob. Civic duty.
My top of the cob is there's a little drizzle today.
Oh, really?
It's like a little dark out. You saw it out there.
I didn't know
like,
it drizzled.
This morning. It was like, I like it. I'm into it. I'm just excited
any
for
break
it. Yeah, just something microwave. Different from the heat. I was able to like wear a blanket in bed last night instead of just sleeping with no blanket, just hoping not to die of heat stroke. So it's going good. My bottom is I'm sick of taking the garbage out. I'm sick of taking my garbage, going down the stairs, going back to the back of the building, going out to the dumpster, lifting the dumpster lid and hoping that like any water or gunk that is pooled on top of it doesn't fall on me. Then I got to lift my thing into the dumpster.
Yeah, well.
What's yours?
Endless shout out video.
Endless.
So what it was is the endless requests I get for making shout out videos.
For individuals?
For like causes.
Oh, yes, yes.
Like I am a doer. And if I'm going to be a part of your cause, I really, you know, it's one thing to be a celebrity and lend your time. And that really is sometimes very valuable. But like, you know, I've been invited to tweet about like environmental causes, like a beach cleanup. I'm like, great, can I go? They're like, oh, we're not offering spots or, oh, it's not in your area. And it's like, sure, I want to promote these things, but I like to physically do them or like charity videos. Now, if all you can do to participate is that, like I can't like research cancer on my own, like that helps. But like, it's just endless like, hey, here's a random cause. Could she provide a shout out video? And while it seems like a small thing, oftentimes I'm like, who is this actually for? How is this being edited? Is this actually moving the needle? Like you want to make it so that when you do help, it's impactful versus constantly like it's a birthday shout out. It's for someone's retirement. It's a hello video. And it's just like, nobody wants these.
Yeah. If someone, if you're always doing it, then when people see it, their eyes are going to glaze over. You need to do it when it is truly meaningful so that people can connect with
Like I did Stand Up to Cancer. And I think that's an important one.
Yes.
Or like a big environmental thing, especially if I can back it up with an action. But just being one out of like 1,000 celebrities and you're like, and give. And then they edit you in. You're like, okay.
Stand Up for Cancer was cool because you did part of the telethon where you were talking to people, you know, like who donated.
You look at like small ones that you do and it's like they'll have you record a sentence and it's just you saying one word. And it's like, this is just about volume and we're not actually changing anything. We're not triggering any action. So, and it does take time because you've got to like set up the camera, set up the light, put on the makeup, do the script, put it in a Dropbox, send it in. Mm-hmm. And when you have a ton of other things to do and you've got like 10 of those to do, it really is. I mean, and it's like, oh, so hard, but it actually is stopping down to address something.
Well, and because it's not just you going like, what's up? It's like following very explicit instructions for doing it correctly. Because you don't want to do it wrong.
Correct.
You want to say the right thing.
You don't want to be shitty.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a niche thing.
There you go.